Hi, this is Kevin McKillop from freedomtarget.com. Today on the line, I got a special guest, James Reynolds. Our paths have crossed a few times online, mutual friends, and James is, I would say, I look towards as one of the better offline consultants who has really excelled in just under, I think, just under a year. I'll let James fill you in on that. So welcome, James.
Thanks, Kevin. Great to be on the call and obviously connecting from different time zones in different parts of the world right now. So it's always good fun.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's fun how Skype can just connect everybody. Really doesn't matter what the time is, what the day is, and it's funny. So I wanted to reach out to you and ask, because I know I've mutual friends, both members of James' Superfast Results, and I've listened to, I guess, a few other interviews that you've actually done, one you did with Kyle, and I actually had my own questions that I wanted to ask on top of some things that I'd heard from other people, so I thought I'd reach out, and I know that the audience of my own here would love to hear stories about how people got started and how they moved from more, basically kind of like a beginner to more into the expert phase.
Sure. I'd love to fill any questions you've got for me right now. I've had quite a interesting and sort of fun journey since I got into this scene called internet marketing. So it's always good to share those stories and hopefully some of what I can share can help encourage others to perhaps pursue that path and achieve some success for themselves.
So that actually leads right into my first question is sort of when did you get into this?
Oh gosh, kind of like I suppose a lot of people, by accident. I mean, it really was the case. I was in a totally different industry, working in a totally different business, with no idea or thought about internet marketing. And in fact, had no idea really even what it was, probably until 18 months ago. And then got connected, as you do, with a community of guys who were doing this thing called IM. And like a lot of people who've probably been on the same journey as I have, it just hooked me. I just loved the appeal of it. I loved the opportunity that it proposed and the lifestyle that, you know, it could lead to. And from that moment that I really got introduced to it, I kind of knew at the back of my mind that, you know, I wanted to be a part. But it did, on the other hand, it did take quite a while for me to sort of get involved from there. And that story was quite interesting because I live in Dubai, as you know, which is right in the center of the Middle East, not in a conflict zone. So we are safe here. No bombs. Well, at least any that we know of. So, yeah. But I came over and I was running a photography company, and it'd been a business that I'd been involved with and working in for the 10 years prior. So it was very much my life. It was pretty much all that I had on the horizon for the future. But I was at a networking event, funnily enough, and a guy came up to me and said, you know, I'm doing this big internet marketing event at the end of the year. I run it annually, and I have all of these big internet marketing speakers come over, and I need some photographs. Can you help me out, James? If you're keen in getting involved, then why don't you jump on my internet marketing training course? And, you know, we can essentially do a bit of a barter. It'll be a win-win for both parties. And I thought, well, yeah, wait a second. This is interesting stuff. I was doing marketing in my business role, and I thought, hey, this sounds like a bit of fun. And I took it on board. And I just, you know, from that moment onwards, and I saw the lifestyle and I saw the opportunities that people were leading within the field of internet marketing, I thought, this is really what I want to do. But it had come at a really bad time, because at that point, I'd just been offered a directorship at the photography company that I'd been in for 10 years. So I was about to sort of commit my future to it. So it was very much at that point, I was like, I got to a crossroads. It was like this new, crazy, fun world of internet marketing was sort of pulling me in. Yet there was this big opportunity with the directorship. And, you know, I just found myself at a crossroads, and with no other thought really than, shit, yes, I want to do this. One day I walked into my boss and said, look, you know, I found something else. I don't think I want to commit my future to the company. I'm going to finish in 2 days' time. How is that? And that was it. And there started my journey really into full-time internet marketing.
That's awesome.
It was probably not the best planned move, admittedly. You know, when things feel right, I'm a really big believer that you should just jump in. And, you know, as the saying goes, you'll grow wings on the way down and you'll find a way to make it work. And for me, it was the right opportunity. And there was a bunch of other circumstances that kind of brought it about and pushed me to make that decision. I actually, you know, with the new arrangement I had in the photography company, I hadn't been paid for some time and, you know, various other bits and pieces. And I thought, really, is this right? So there were circumstances that kind of pushed me into making that decision. But it definitely was a crazy one because at that point I actually wasn't really making any money online. In fact, you know, I mean, literally it was a bit of affiliate marketing. A few dollars were dropping in the account here and there. But I definitely wasn't making enough to live on. And then on the back of that, I had a bunch of credit card debt. I said I hadn't been paid in my previous role for some time. I had no opportunity but to make that that scenario work. And I think that's really what helped me get through the sort of first few months. And sort of get my sort of feet running in the right direction was the fact that, you know, it just wasn't me wanting to do it. I was actually needing to have to do it to survive. And that helped me really just get some momentum up early on and things have sort of ticked on from there, really.
Yeah, it's funny what people can do when they have to and how much they just don't do if there's no really need for it, right? If they want to do it, they won't do it. If they have to, they'll be amazed at what they can accomplish.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, Kevin.
I was just going to say, you started off, you were sort of dabbling in affiliate marketing and a few other online stuff, but really nothing you could really, you know, live off of. What sort of drove you or what segued you into, what was the segue into offline consulting or helping local businesses?
It was brought to me that, you know, if I wanted to start making, you know, quick money online, it was really the best business model to pursue. And, you know, when I'd made that decision to walk away from my job, one of the first things I did was seek advice from people who I knew could give me the right answers. And I had a conversation with a mutual friend of ours, James Schramko. And he said, James, look, you know, affiliate marketing, you know, great business model. It'll take time, you know. Public speaking, you know, yes, it's going to take you time, but you've not got the experience for it. And we went through business models. He said, look, the only thing that really is going to give you the cash flow you need at this point in time is local business marketing. So I took his advice, of course, you know, James Schramko, it's always good advice. He pointed me in the right direction and that was it. And it kind of suited my background as well. I mean, I'd run a small business for 10 years prior. So I understood the mindset and psychology of small business owners, understood their needs, you know, their challenges in marketing. So it was very simple for me to kind of slot into that, be it with a different, you know, marketing tool and a different industry. But I could very much resonate and connect with that audience quite easily.
So with the local businesses, did you go after, and a lot of people ask, did you go after ones that are spit like in Dubai, or do you have clients essentially outside of your geographic area?
Primarily, our main core sort of clients are from Dubai. We do have clients that, you know, are further afield now, and we have, you know, international clients, but the core of our business remains local to us. And although I think things will change and it'll become a lot easier to do business with people in other you know, time zones and areas, the local business market works best and you can get the best results when you're working with businesses almost face-to-face or at least partially face-to-face.
Yeah.
Because they like that sort of assuredness of having someone they can pick up the phone and call, someone that they can see, feel, you know, a touch. They know that's there. They know it's a reputable business and they can go somewhere if everything, you know, anything ever goes wrong. So it was very much my focus straight away to tap into the local market, but more so tap into those sort of vein of contacts that I already had through my previous business. because it kind of seemed easier for me to start with those people whom I'd already built a relationship with than go and try and find, you know, new people that I didn't, especially at that stage being essentially quite inexperienced in internet marketing with only a sort of a few months background behind me. It seemed to be the best place to start. And definitely if someone was getting into this right now, I'd definitely say first thing, look at the relationships you already have. In terms of trying to sort of win new business as opposed to trying to sort of break outside of that.
Yeah, having friends and connections, or not even connections, just, but, you know, working that inner circle was actually the first, how I got my first client was just people, you know, businesses that I already had frequented and had a relationship with. A question then, so you worked with those, so what you went after, I guess, you know, the relationship, leveraged the relationships that you had, what was the, I guess, the first method of marketing that you used to go outside of your existing relationship to try and get new clients?
I did two things. One of them's very close to your heart. I'll know that. The first thing I did was direct marketing, and using mail sequences. Mm-hmm. To hit businesses. I would say it had a reasonable level of success, but unfortunately that model wasn't really sort of conducive to the local market here because of the way mail is delivered and just people's sort of habits in terms of sort of communication. It wasn't that effective. And then I got into video marketing using the model that you've had great success with. And I got a good number of clients early on using that method. And that was extremely effective.
And then I think I remember listening to an interview that you did with Kyle. So you've that was great in the beginning, and you've sort of transitioned from that into another source of business, and one that we just spoke about a little earlier before we got on the call here, networking. Is that where you've moved into now? Like, what phase have you moved into now?
Yeah, definitely networking is extremely sort of high on the agenda right now, and I'm part of regular networking groups that meet every week. One of them that I'm very well established in is an organization called BNI, which is an international networking organization, the biggest of its type. I'm a chapter director of one of the local chapters here. And that is a fantastic way for generating good, high-level, close-contact referrals. Because over time, with that type of networking environment where you meet fellow members every week, you can build up a lot of trust and very deep relationships with people to the extent that they can go out and work as your extended sales force. So that's extremely effective. And for someone starting out, it's also a really good model because, you know, early days when you're starting local business marketing, you're not going to probably have any employees. You're not necessarily going to have access to salespeople in your business. So having essentially an extended sales force who are not costing you anything and can work as impartial referrers is really, really effective. So, it's a great method. And my first year, yikes, I mean, I got close to three figures probably with networking.
That's awesome. I've not actually been to there is a local BNI chapter here. It's actually one thing that I was going to sort of give a go. And for anybody who's not gone to one of these things, I guess one of the questions I can see coming is, well, you know, how many times do I have to really go before, you know, I might sort of see some sort of benefit to going other than going and doing the weekly meetings. So what do you see a lot of people, new people come and go?
It takes time, and it depends.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that can happen. Yeah, you occasionally get a turnover. You have to be very much of the right mindset to make a networking organization like BNI work for you, because you have to invest very much in it to reap the returns. And some people aren't willing to kind of invest in those relationships to the extent that they're going to start delivering the fruit later on. And especially for something like, you know, website development and, you know, search engine optimization or whatever you decide your particular sort of service offerings to be, they're quite high value items. So it's not the sort of thing that, you know, for many people, they can refer extremely easily. It's not like getting, you know, a set of glossy business cards done or getting some corporate gifts done, which are very sort of low value products, which you don't really mind if you refer and someone messes up. If you're referring, you know, someone to get a website done and the website, you know, doesn't turn out, you as the referrer can, you know, could look bad in that scenario. So for that reason, you have to build up trust with the other people on the networking group. And once you've got that level of trust and they can see that you are going to, you know, do a great job if they refer someone to you, then the referrals really start coming. So you should probably, you know, you should allow, you know, a good few months for that to really kick in. And they always do say that kind of your second 6 months and your second year will always grow in terms of the return that you get from BNI.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people have success with the networking, and then also there's also the naysayers that, but they just sort of go in with the wrong aspect where they just want to, they show up and it's they're trying to sell themselves right away. Really not, you know, they're not talking to people, they're not trying to invest in it, they're just trying to take as fast as they can.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I think BNI has this this saying, givers gain, which in any networking, you know, environment really should be, you know, your mantra. You should look first how you're going to help someone else before you look at actually what you're going to get in return. Because if you give more out in value than you expect in return, it will come back to you. It's that whole principle of reciprocity, which is very sort of talked about in the marketing world. But it's the same thing in networking. If you look to help someone else out, they will feel indebted to you and want to return that favor. So we're going to hopefully actively go out and then look for referrals to give you back in exchange.
Well, it sounds like it's worked well for you. Do you remember, Carl, what sort of an interesting story? But what your first client? How when you got that first client? How did that go? Because a lot of people are still actively looking to get that first client or their real, you know, first real good client. But a lot of them sit and they sort of make barriers for themselves about the potential problems that they're going to run into, and they won't be able to deal with them. They just build up a wall and stop themselves. And really, you just gotta push through it. And like you mentioned, you'll find wings on the way down. And so, sort of, how was your experience like with your first client?
My first client, well, I'll tell you where my first client came from. That was someone that I'd known prior to sort of making the move and setting up my offline marketing business. And literally, what I did straight away was get in touch with those people that I had the best relationships with and said, look, this is what I'm doing now. If I can help you in any way, or if you know of anyone else who needs help in this area, you know, please bear me in mind. And one of those initial phone calls led to, well, actually, yeah, we do need a website. Would you come in and see us? And then one, you know, conversation sort of led to another, and they moved then forwards, you know, a few weeks later with an order. But it was, I was able to do that because, you know, of course I had trust in those people already, but I actually just went out and took some action and did something. You know, you have to be marketing from day one, is getting yourself out there. And then once you've sold something, then worry about how you're going to fulfill it. First and foremost is actually sell something to start with.
Yeah, I've said that. I did a webinar not too long ago, and one of the main focal points is I focused on that fact, is that so many people get caught up in the nuts and bolts of actually performing the work, is that they don't get to, they forget the marketing part. And like you make money on selling something, you don't really make the money on doing all the nuts and bolts and worrying about what's going to happen. So you have to sell a product, you have to sell a service, and then you will find a way to make sure that that happens. There's so many different resources available and help that you can find to make that happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're not going to make much money if you don't actually make a sale. So it kind of does help.
So when did you, so at what point did you sort of transition from sort of solo James to James with a team?
It happened in stages. Actually, when I first set out on my own and, you know, was just doing my own trip for probably a month or so, really. And then I got approached by the same guy, Annette, Stowe, who first approached me at the photography company to do pictures for his event. And he said, James, look, I've heard you're doing offline consulting. I'm looking at setting up a consulting business off the back of the events that we're running. I think you would be a perfect candidate to, to actually, push that forward and operate it. So we sat down, we had a chat, we put together a business deal. We became partners shortly after. But pretty much for the first 6 months thereafter, it was very much me operating the business, and was only really me that was actually going out and selling stuff. It wasn't till about sort of 6 months later then I felt comfortable in terms of the system and the business model that I was wanting then to bring other people in. And probably sort of like, I think October, maybe November last year, we brought in two additional people from inside the community to act as consultants. Since then, we've had a third one come in, and then various kind of sort of admin and support staff have then joined since. So it's been, been very much an organic growth since sort of October, November last year, and we've got more sort of things happening on the way. So it's starting to shape up to look like a proper business, actually, sort of a year in.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see. I think we kind of approach our anniversary as such on the 1st of July. So, yeah, it's nice to kind of see how things, can evolve in that period if you really sort of buckle down and put your mind to it. And we've got, thankfully, we've got a really nice, healthy little business running now.
Now, I remember, I think, listening to a previous interview you'd done, you'd mentioned, something about you got some strategic partnerships. And I guess I imagine somebody would ask, well, what does that mean, and how did that come about for you?
Strategic partnerships, yeah, we essentially work with some individuals, if you like, and some companies who target a very similar audience to us, so have the same sort of type of client, but work in different industries. So we have sort of complementary businesses, if you like. And we just essentially look to refer business to each other wherever we can. And there's a sort of two or three relationships that we've got like that, which are extremely fruitful. And we've managed to sort of develop those relationships over time to be extremely, extremely trusted. So we think twice, we wouldn't think twice now about just referring business as soon as a new client comes into ourselves. So that's been extremely effective.
Yeah, I recall, I remember listening to that, and it seemed like a really interesting. I actually tried to sit and try to think of some companies. I tried to follow that and try to think of some companies in my area of similar nature, trying to following the criteria that you had mentioned. But I definitely like the idea, and certainly makes sense to leverage a partnership like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you've gone from, you say your anniversary is coming up sort of July. So from the beginning of July, so just a little bit before that, gone from essentially kind of, no IM business, consulting business, to, several team members, strategic partnerships. You're one of the directors of this BNI group. So you'd say like for a little bit of effort, and you'd say that this is a pretty lucrative business and one that can be sort of put together with a lot of effort, but relatively quickly.
Absolutely. Yeah. James Ramco was right, I guess, sort of a year later. No, it was absolutely spot on. It absolutely is the fastest way you can start making money essentially online, without a shadow of a doubt. For me, as I mentioned earlier, it was very much a need to do it, and I'm now able to sort of take that position and transition it into other business models. But if people really want to get going and get going fast and then expand into other areas, use local business marketing as a platform to do that. But other business models are going to be extremely difficult to get off the ground without having cash flow, and thankfully this business model does give you fast cash flow and opportunities to invest that back into other stuff. So that's very much my objective now, is to take the local business marketing model and then use it to then invest into other avenues, and that's what I'm working on right now.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, I've definitely, because I thought that was one of the reasons how I got into it in the very beginning, was it was the quick return and not having to you know trying some of these other models that were really, they were going to take a lot of lead time to get going, and quite frankly just going to burn through cash while I'm trying to get through that lead time. So this was the in my brain, in my head, was the quickest way to do it, and that's exactly why I got into it. The same thing. One question is, have you had any sort of interesting experiences with a client, like any bad clients that you don't have to name them, but sort of what happened? Was it something that you could have avoided in the beginning that now that you know what happened, or what sort of took place?
Yeah, oh boy, you learn with every client. I think clients, you know, of course there's essential part to your business, but they're a rare breed sometimes. They still do surprise me. The biggest thing that I've sort of learned in terms of client management is to be, you know, aware of the creeping brief. You know, clients often start out with something in their mind and they communicate a brief to you and you work on that brief, but you know, then when things develop, it kind of turns into something else. And before you know it, you've had, you know, four or five revisions, even when a site's gone live, and those types of things can be a bit of a headache. So you need to really sort of set your stall out and be extremely sort of strict with your terms of business and manage expectations from the start, for sure. I don't think there's been anything that's kind of topped that. There's been a few of those cases though.
I know, that's a good tip. Project creep, I think it exists pretty much everywhere when you start getting into any sort of project, and you got to be strict on what's included and what's not included.
Absolutely, yeah, for sure. Be extremely, extremely thorough. We've added, you know, levels of sort of documentation into our process now to make sure that, you know, these sort of things are streamlined and it's down in black and white exactly what the client's getting. So yeah, it's definitely a tip, and you know, it's really going to help. Just make sure that you're not just spending hours of time managing a client relationship. If you can sort of systemize this and be sort of thorough from, you know, the start point, it will help with your processes and ensuring that you haven't got that sort of endless sort of client management at the end, which as we know, it can be a real pain.
So talking about these briefs, I guess sort of in the beginning, what sort of services were you offering to local businesses? Like websites, SEO, I mean, people are talking about, you know, social media. I don't know about Dubai, but Google, if there's Google Places, but I mean, sort of people are always wondering, you know, what do you offer them?
Yeah, we pretty much started with the sort of standard portfolio, really. And that was essentially direct response websites, SEO services, Google AdWords, so PPC. We then moved into social media creation, social media management, and even we've moved now into video marketing as well. So we just looked at where there's been requirements and where we can offer additional value, if you like, to our existing client base. Because, you know, if we manage to get the results, then, you know, what other opportunities are there to deliver, you know, additional results on top of that? And we've kind of expanded the portfolio of services as we've gone along, and we offer quite an extensive amount of stuff now. But the main ones and the best ones to start with, I find, are is website development, because it's fast cash and normally, you know, large amounts, and then SEO services, because it's got that really nice sort of residual recurring monthly income. So you get best of both worlds. And fortunately, there's really good providers out there that you can outsource that stuff to. So I would say, you know, again, for people getting into this stuff, that's probably the best place to start. You know, and you can get going with those two services very, very quickly.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because right, you know, when you were doing the solo thing in the beginning, then you weren't doing the website, so the SEO yourself.
Not a chance. No, yikes. Yeah, I definitely wouldn't. I'd still be on my first website, I think, if I was doing the work myself.
Yeah. No, I like that. There's lots of service providers, and most people, a lot of people get caught up and you know, well, I can't do this, or even if you, I won't be able to do that. And it's just, you don't have to be able to do it. You have to be able to talk about it, and you have to find somebody else that will actually do the work for you.
Absolutely. At the end of the day, what do you want to be? Do you want to position yourself as the expert and the authority figure who, you know, can demand, you know, high prices? Or do you want to be the techie person they go to with a problem and they have no respect for? You know, it's all down to positioning, really. And, you know, there's no need for people to do their own websites. You can, you know, you can deal with 5 or 6 clients if you outsource stuff, as opposed to perhaps one or maybe even half a client, in my case, if you did it yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Well, here's another question. So what would you consider, or is there anyone particular, like a turning point where things really, there was one particular event or, you know, meeting, or you met somebody, or one thing that sort of, where things sort of, like the up ramp just started, your business started to really accelerate from that point?
Yeah, sure. It's essentially when I sort of changed my direction from sort of one-to-one marketing, if you like, to one-to-many marketing. And I started to hit speaking engagements, getting myself on the radio, getting press coverage, all of that sort of stuff. That really kind of, you know, exploded the business and meant I could be hitting a lot more people in the same amount of time. So that was a big turning point. It took a bit of guts to do it, you know, to get yourself out there and sort of position yourself as a, you know, as a perceived expert or authority, you know, quite early on. But it really did help position me both to people I was dealing with one to one, but also being able to hit a larger audience. So yeah, that was a biggie. And if people can tap into that, that would be fantastic.
So you were able to get, you know, you mentioned that you were able to get on the radio and get in front, you know, get on stage and in front of people, and you didn't have any sort of, you know, big name behind you doing that, right?
No, not at all. I well and truly blagged it.
Well, I bring it up for, you know, anybody, you know, people say, well, no, like, you know, that's great. You were on the radio and, you know, you were doing public speaking, but I've never done that. I'm never going to get on the radio. Like, you know, there was something special, you know, it's just like, well, you know, I didn't. It sounds like, I mean, it wasn't like you hadn't been doing this for years and, you know, there's some super experts who've been doing this for years, but you were able to do that kind of stuff and get out and position yourself as the expert.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you become the expert when you decide yourself that you are the expert. No one's going to, you know, crown you or, you know, place a sword over your shoulders and say, you know, look now, Kevin James, you are now experts. It's down to your own positioning. So get yourself out there, contact the press, contact radio stations and say, hey, look, you know, if ever you need someone to comment on matters relating to social media or online marketing, come to me. I'm a knowledgeable person in that field. And when you do that and put yourself out there, you'll be, you know, amazed at the response that you can get, because, you know, people are looking for speakers. They're looking for, you know, people that can come and talk about interesting subjects like online marketing, and radios are looking for people that can talk about social media because it's a hot subject. People are interested in it. And if you can sort of fill that void and help those people out by, you know, offering good content to their audience, it's a win-win for everyone involved.
That's a really, those are some really good tips there. I like those. The one more question for you. So the first one, one piece most people would sort of ask. It says your first, do you remember your first speaking engagement?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I was kind of June time last year, I guess. I think it was early June last year. So yeah, nervous. Yeah. Very much so. I didn't have the easiest kind of induction to it, because my first speaking gig was to about 450 people, so it wasn't a small crowd by anyone's imagination, and to top that, it was also alongside, you know, I guess very, you know, established people in the industry. I mean, you know, I could mention names, a lot of people would know them, and You know, for me, I was kind of like the newcomer. I got a sort of small sort of speaking slot, and for me, it was like, you know, as long as I don't look like an idiot in front of these people, I don't really care. And you know, thankfully, I did my homework and I had good content, and I just went out there and did that and did the stuff, and I think I made a pretty reasonable job because they asked me to come back and speak again, so it's all kind of you know, moved on to other stuff.
Yeah, and you know, I bring it up because I mean, it's not you haven't been spent a life or a career as a professional speaker, and most people would probably, you know, run the opposite direction from having to get up in front of 400 people for the first time. But you step outside that comfort zone, and for the amount of discomfort it was for however long that presentation was, once it's all said and done, look what starts opening up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they always, I mean, what's the saying, you know, there's a whole bunch of them, run towards your fears, or, you know, the biggest success comes outside your comfort zone. It's totally true, because it's where most people don't go. So where there is scarcity, you know, there's the biggest opportunity. You know, if you're in the local, you know, business market, there's going to be very few people out there who are willing to step up and do speaking gigs. So be that person that does it, and, you know, rise above everyone else and position yourself, you know, as the leader. It just takes, you know, a tiny little bit of discomfort, if you like, but that discomfort, you know, normally results in very high rewards.
Yeah, absolutely. As most people will avoid the discomfort, and so there's not a lot of them. So if you're not uncomfortable, you're not moving forward. And I've done some speaking back in my previous job, job, not to smaller audiences. I did a lot of IT training, but even I remember the first time that I had to get up and pretend or be the expert to these people in front of me. That was just, I still remember that very day. But you get over it, and now it's not a big deal anymore. And then you move on to something else. And I think I really like the your idea of, you know, it really started to grow for you from the one to one to one to many. In order to do the one to many, you have to really be uncomfortable. For most people are going to have to be uncomfortable to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can't you know, reach many people if it's just one to one. I mean, do the mathematics; it's going to take you a long time to get to the levels of audience you want. So yeah, it's good when you're ready to take that step, which should be as early as possible. Just go for it.
So what's the plan? And so the big plans for the next year in the business?
Yeah, well, we're looking at, of course, expanding and other opportunities. The business will take a slightly different direction, and you know, we're looking at different sort of marketing channels to grow that existing consultancy business. And sort of further down the line, we've got plans to take it into other regions, you know, probably towards the end of this year. So that's all fun. And then also looking at other business models or services, if you like, that bolt onto our existing audience. So we're trying to just essentially build it out in a modular fashion and piece by piece, brick by brick, you know, add on to what already exists. So there's lots in the pipeline. It's super exciting times. So, I mean, good to see again a year on to the second year, exactly where the business will be.
Yep, it's goal setting, and it's just that's one of the things I liked about this. You know, you talked about earlier in the very beginning. You know, you catch the IM bug, and it really is just it's just the opportunity and just the ability for it to grow is addictive to see how it will grow. There's no limit to it.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, decide how many zeros you want on that income. Yeah. And go for it. I mean, there literally is no limit. I mean, I think we're still very early days in the whole evolution of the, you know, the online business model. Who knows where it's going to go? I think, you know, it's going to be an interesting few years ahead for everyone involved in the scene.
And I know most people, but they don't call this a job. You know, as people, are you working? I'm like, well, if I don't call it working, but I'm doing what I like to do.
Oh yeah, gosh, yeah, I resonate with that, absolutely. Well, we all, as you said, it's a bug, isn't it? I mean, it's you know, it's something that you know, a lot of us have got extremely passionate about, and it doesn't feel like work, does it? I mean, it kind of, everything blends in together, and it's a lifestyle. And now I feel very lucky to have found it.
Well, James, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to do this, and I know I'll be looking forward to having some beers in October and out in Sydney, because I know you're going to Fast Web Formula 3, and I've got my ticket booked.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good little shindig, I think. That
yeah,
a lot of people looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think so too.
No, it's been brilliant, Kevin. Well, thanks for having me on the call. It's been nice to sort of share some experiences. Hopefully, you know, your audience have. Or will find it useful.
Oh, no, they will. And if people wanted to follow you along, what, you got a Twitter, you on Facebook, anything like that?
Yeah, they can hit me up on Facebook, and it's / James H. Reynolds, or they can hit me up on my website, which is webreactivators.com. Always a good place to find me.
Awesome. All right, James, well, thanks very much.
Great stuff. Thanks, Kevin.